Hello? Is this Alan Bartram? It's Jeremy and Jason Chapman. You know your best friends ever.
Whoa, both of you guys?
Yeah.
We are starting a new podcast, and we want you to be our first guest.
First guest?
Yes, first guest.
Can you be...
Boy, you really want this thing to take off, huh?
We want to make all the mistakes on ones that don't matter, so...
Dude, I'm your man.
Yes. All right, so let's do this podcast thing, okay?
Hey, man, I'm in.
All right.
Let's do it. I'm your Huckleberry.
All right, talk to you soon.
All right, fellas, I'll see you.
See ya.
Make me a wing, because I can be the wing. Let somebody want letting go when I can have my wing.
All right, 20 questions with Alan Bartram. Go.
I don't know.
I like that we thought that was funny.
Just like old times.
So here it is, guys. The first podcast.
What are we doing here? Inaugural.
The Chapman's inaugural. Podcast.
I added an E to it. It's inaugural. Actually an I.
My guy just told me to be here, so I'm not sure what this was for.
So for you, Jeremy, what this is a podcast. It's something that is streamed on the internet. Hmm. Are you familiar with the internet?
I have heard people talk about it. I don't think it's
going to
be
different than
here.
The interweb?
No. It's the same thing. Anyway, the inaugural episode of the Acoustic Shop Knows People.
Oh, yes. So I've heard about this as well. It's very famous.
Not yet.
Soon to be very famous. No, this is exciting. We're somewhat avid listeners to podcasts. We grew up playing music and listening to music all the time. I probably listen to more podcasts and business podcasts and mystery.
I know. I hear about it all the time.
I credit some of the success of this business to listen to podcasts.
I've learned a lot from
podcasts. Is this business successful?
It's to the extent that it is. Podcasts played a role. So very excited about that. Having our own podcast. The idea behind this one is we're just going to talk to people in the industry. They don't have to always be musicians. Yeah. They can sometimes be manufacturers. They could be other music stores. I thought, and we've talked about this, a pretty cool thing is creating this community around acoustic music.
Exactly. That's what makes this special. But it also, I want it to be special for the fact that we don't just talk to people or talk at people about, you know, where did you learn to make guitars?
So it says here that you've been playing since 5 years old. Tell me about that.
That was good.
By the way, that was probably the best NPR impersonation.
That was a very good
I've
NPR
ever.
Voice.
Thank you. We got these new microphones. We can talk really close to them. Yes. It sounds professional. But no, the idea behind this is we're going to actually have a conversation with friends of ours and just
we'll
riff.
Fun.
We're going to riff.
Riff.
So who is our first guest? This is pretty exciting.
Our first guest is Alan Bartram.
Never heard of him.
Exactly. Wish I'd never heard of him. Now, Alan, one of our best friends, probably our most famous best friend.
I feel bad. We've known Alan for a lot of years. And we've all been the type of people that are reluctant to just call people all the time and just bug them, especially when they have a level of success.
I don't mean to interrupt you, but are you guys having allergy problems right now these days?
I've had a few.
It's called springtime.
Yeah.
Springtime in Missouri.
I feel like there's something in my nose.
It's your finger. No. Alan's one that I like to call and chit-chat, but I feel that for a while there, I was just calling and asking for tickets to things. Because
that's what you were doing.
I was doing it. And Alan was very generous to give me tickets. He got me to Merlefest and he got me to the
Hey, by the way, Alan, when you listen back to this, I never called you for favors.
I'm a better friend.
I just want to say that Jeremy is a user.
But also, when Alan came to town, John and Jason were busy and couldn't go to the concert.
And I was sleepy.
Yeah.
I know. But I did hang out with him all day.
So, anyway, great guy. I look forward to talking to Alan. It's been a while. We always act like idiots when we're together, so I'm sure this will be no exception.
Truly.
I can't wait to be an idiot with Alan.
Actually, absolutely.
I'm sure there's going to be a couple laughs or maybe even some giggles.
All right, well, let's do it.
Yeah, no further ado.
Alan Bartram.
Can you hear us, Alan? No, you cannot.
No audio. Can you hear me?
No, we're there.
Check, 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 check,
check. We can hear you.
We hear you.
Check, 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 check.
Maybe you should turn your phone.
You got me? I wish I could hear you.
Turn up your volume.
What happened?
What happened?
Turn the volume up. Yeah.
Hello, 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 hello.
Is that it?
I knew what he was doing. I knew what he was doing.
Can you hear
I got an idea. I could pretend I know what you guys are asking me, and I could just start talking about something randomly. So before I had my iPhone sitting on the MacBook Pro that wouldn't work, next to the Chromebook that wouldn't work. Now I'm sitting on the floor on a pillow with my phone on a chair so I can be nice and close to the plug, even though I had it plugged in before.
Yes, that's great.
Say something. We weren't able to catch all that. I guess was that in Cubase? Yeah,
still have nothing. I can't hear you guys.
I think it's recording, yeah.
1%. I have 1% battery, guys, because I've got a janky plug. Oh, man. It's full of, like, dirt. Let's see if I can...
This is a disaster.
I'm going to have to go handheld. It's going to be all Blair Witchy. If we ever get audio back. All right. You guys want to hear a limerick?
Yes.
There once was a man from Nantucket.
Do we got to finish the rest?
This is a family show. Yes. Family show.
All right. Oh, my God.
Well, at least it's showing it's charging.
Testing
now.
1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2.
I still can't hear you. Okay, it looked like your mic just went off and came back on. Maybe.
2, 1, 2. So one thing we got to ask our guests is what kind of...
I can hear you.
Can you hear
you
us?
Can hear. Oh, look at that face. That's a happy face out. Right there. That's...
We got sound effects there.
We got sound effects added now.
That's incredible.
I think we just, I'm not sure that all the things that you just said a little bit ago got kept on recording.
I think we captured them.
If so, it's all staying in this podcast because I was dying.
I got my busted iPhone.
I swear. I told you. I'm not
techie.
That's
why we tested this with you, because now we know to ask all of our guests, do you have a computer?
Yeah, exactly.
A working computer.
Well, just so folks know, I started off on my 10-year-old's Chromebook. It's like a $200 computer, and it doesn't have enough storage space to record these things. So then I switched to my MacBook Pro, which is probably 14 years old, and it's never been updated probably. And that wasn't working either. You see what this arm is doing right here? This arm is holding the phone against a wireless charger that's on the back of the phone, because the jack for the charger is just full of junk. And if you don't hold the thing just right, it doesn't charge. Which
the good
is
thing
why
is,
you're
so used to that arm being up there with the bass. You're going to be able to do this for at least another hour.
Yeah, another hour at least.
Oh, yeah, no problem.
Wrong arm, guys.
Are we ready to do this?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, hold on. Ladies and gentlemen, we would like to welcome you to our very first podcast. I'm very excited about this. What is the name of this podcast, Jason?
The Acoustic Shop Knows People.
So this is a podcast all about people with noses.
It's very a practical name. It's not about noses. We nose people.
We nose.
We just
dude,
walk
that
up.
That is weird.
We just walk up to them and go, hey, have you ever done an Eskimo kiss?
No, that doesn't make sense at all.
Anyway, our first guest is Alan Bartram. This guy we do know.
Yes, we've known him since we were like little tykes.
Yes. He tries to pretend he doesn't know us, but...
Yes, Alan Bartram.
Mm-hmm. Alan Bartram of the Traveling McCurrys, the Del McCurry Band, the single bass jam fame.
Second edition.
Have any other main gigs these days?
Hold on just a second.
I'm getting a phone call there.
I got to go airplane mode here. Okay. You still got me?
Yeah. I got you. Any other big gigs that we got to know about here, Alan?
No.
You played with Kenny and Amanda Smith, the original band.
Yep.
That was right.
Which led to a romantic encounter.
Yeah, how did that story go? I want to know the lineage of that. Was it the band first and then the wife, or the wife and then the band?
Band first. Yep.
All right. And you are married to Amanda's sister?
Right. Yep. Christina.
Well, I knew that. I would just
We were just testing you to see if
we wanted to see if you were sure of this.
Anyway, so you didn't get the job. You didn't get the job because you married her sister. You got her sister because you took the job.
Correct. That is correct.
He's probably more thinking about job security, though.
I'm so glad we're clearing this up.
You guys are kind of entwined in that story a little bit because it kind of started when Kenny was filling in with our band at Silver Dollar City, which you guys rode in our rattletrap bus from Pigeon Forge. You guided us to Branson. And so when Kenny got back from that trip, he told Christina, "I met the guy you need to marry."
Aw, that was pretty
sweet. Which I wasn't aware of until, like, he never said anything to me. But
and Justin was unavailable at the time, so then he said, "Also, I know Alan."
Yes.
So that was a fun story. Yeah. That was a fun story. So Alan was playing in a band called Second Edition at the time, correct?
Yeah. We were doing a stint at Dollywood.
Correct. And we were playing there too. And then you were going to leave and play in Branson. So I think these guys all left.
Well, we were in front of you, but yeah. We were like maybe an hour ahead of you guys. But
well, it ended up being way more than an hour ahead.
The bus started to go slower and slower.
it turned into way longer ahead. So I'm like, I'll ride with those guys and, you know, help them kind of guide their way through. And we got all of like 20 minutes outside of Pigeon Forge before this big giant airline blew up in the inside of the bus. I'm telling you, it was the most amazing thing. It looked like a cloud of dust just ripped through the entire front of the bus, and then we just came to a stop off the side of the road. And at first you're like, that should make for a great story, but it only kept getting better because Kenny was there as well. Kenny Smith was traveling with you guys and was actually filling in on guitar. For you guys while they're at the show. But the best part about that was then nobody came to stop and help. There was an airline that blew out except for this guy who had modded his like 1992 Dodge Neon, and he was telling us how it was a supercharged car. It took everything out of the inside of it. It was awesome.
It was a crazy adventure from start to finish, and you guys were a huge part of it the whole time we were in Branson.
Wasn't that the same trip? And we warned you guys, like, when you get to Branson, there's this really big hill at the bottom of it that you're going to take a turn.
Oh, yeah.
When you get to that hill, don't stop. Stop at the bottom of it. Wait, because you don't want to try to start your bus from that hill.
Yeah, and you got to keep in mind this is a 1960-something five-speed. Eagle.
Four speed,
okay.
Yeah.
It didn't even have that fifth one. If he had the fifth one, none of this stuff would happen.
But who was driving at the time? It was
Mike.
Mike Brubaker was driving, and he went to the top of the hill, and the light changed, and he got stuck.
Well, his words before he got to the top of it was, "I ain't scared."
Yeah.
And he got to the top, and he was scared.
Yeah, all of a sudden he's yelling at everybody, "All right, get on the clutch, I'm holding the brake," and
I think there was hands being used. I think there was
three,
feet,
you guys, from what I heard. Three.
Yep. It was a two-man job.
Good stuff.
The Acoustic Shop Knows People is brought to you by The Acoustic Shop.
It's in the name.
Have you ever wanted to play the banjo?
Yeah.
Were you always afraid your family would laugh and ridicule you?
You would totally do that.
Oh, well, we can't replace your family, but we can get you a banjo that's loud enough to drown out their jeering and laughter. And in the end, Jeremy, that's all that matters.
That's all that matters.
Stop by The Acoustic Shop in Springfield, Missouri, or go to theacousticshop.com to find happiness in a banjo with all the accessories you need to bring that next office party to the next level, banjo style.
There is no party like a banjo party.
And a banjo party don't stop.
We used to hang out with you quite a bit when you guys moved to Nashville. Justin Carbone got a place out there. You were his roommate. Yep. We got to know Thomas Ryrott a little before that, and then he moved in. So anytime we were coming through Nashville, Dad would get his own hotel room and leave us over at Justin's house, and we would just make havoc out there. It was a great time and a lot of waste of time, but some of the best memories. Some of it we have on film, some of it we can't show, but it was a great time. And I remember one of the things we always talked about, in that youthful bunch of guys, we all kind of had the habit of not necessarily like bad mouthing people, but people that we'd been burned by, we'd always kind of like,
we could talk smack.
We'd talk smack about them. And Alan would never participate. Like, he was always the nice guy.
I wanted to bring this up, yes. Alan seems to be, he was always, I always had something good to say about the person. And in the end, he's turned out, in a great position. He got one of the best jobs in the business.
He proved us all wrong.
He's got a great family, a great business. I mean, he's more famous than any of us. Is it because you were nice? Were we doing something wrong?
Now, look at these. He gave us a nice guy answer to that.
It turns out that being kind and people liking you matter.
Actually, treating people with kindness actually works. Who'd have thunk it?
No, it was. We all admired it. We talked about it behind your back when you weren't there. The guy we talked about.
At first, we'd go.
But it was admirable, and I think it kind of led to some of the opportunities that you have had. Where when you were in Nashville, you were just there to be around people, and you were always going out and doing things and doing songwriting sessions or going out to visit with people. We were all in that apartment or that house, just kind of
goofing,
smack talking, and goofing off, and playing banjos backwards, and whatever weird things we could do to waste our time. But Alan was like really living up the town, and I think it led to some of the contacts that eventually led to your current position. So hats off to you, Alan, for being a nice guy, and shows that nice guys do finish first.
Yeah, it's true. Is this a weird conversation for you at all, right here, just talking about how you're a nice guy?
He's heard it before. Weird?
I'm just waiting for the other shoe to drop. I mean, what are you...
We're going to wait till you're off.
You're going to hit me with some kind of like, gotcha.
Pretty much. So then you were doing this for quite a while, and then you did get the job playing with the Del McCurry Band, correct? What year was that?
2005.
You came in directly after Mike Bubb, correct?
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I was looking up some stats not long ago before this podcast was talked about, because I was just wondering, because I think I just got off the phone with you. You are officially the longest running bass player in the band now. You actually are longer than Mike, really? I believe.
If that is not,
yeah, maybe so.
If that is not a true fact, it has now officially become one.
It will be in a few years. If not, you're not going anywhere.
You said it. It's on the internet. It's got to be true.
It's got to be true.
No, I think so. I'm going on 17 years, I guess. Wow.
He's a nice guy, but he's not very good at math. Took a second.
How far off was I?
I don't know. I'm not going to count. If I don't pull off my shoes, I'm not going to figure this out.
I think we might have been over at Justin's house, though, when he was going out for the tryout. He's like, guys, I'm going to try out for Del McCurry.
And
like,
then he became the one we were bad-mouthing.
Yeah. That's what happened.
I don't have time to go play golf with you guys. I'm going to try out with Del McCurry. Yeah.
No, but before that, actually, I want to discuss this, because you were officially, and if I'm wrong about this, my memory's bad, but you were officially one of the first members of the String Dusters. Is that correct?
In a way, not, but we weren't the String Dusters at that time. Yeah. But
were you just Infamous?
Yeah. No, before they settled on the name Infamous String Dusters, we went under a couple names like Wheelhouse. Another name was Broken Drought, and it was still in the very like infancy stages of the band, where it was like, I mean, I was playing with Kenny and Amanda Smith. I loved playing with those guys, but they definitely wanted to like go for it with this new band. And I was like, oh, I don't want to start over with the new band, you know? So I let them know, I they should probably find somebody who wants to do that, you know, who wants to start over and wants to commit themselves fully to a new band. I did get to play on the first record.
They proud didn't cut been you part off of that. That. They didn't cut you off of that after you left?
Nope.
No. Mm-hmm. Good for you. He's that good.
I mean, I think everything worked out the way it was supposed to. Oh, sure. You know what I mean?
You got. What an amazing gig. Playing with Del, we've all talked about this. There's not only a legend, a pioneer, a great player, but also an all-around nice guy who shares. What I love about him is he's always sharing great stories, sharing his musical knowledge with everybody. I mean... You can't beat that.
What is it, sweetie? You can go eat whatever you want. That was my 4-year-old.
Right there. You know what that was? You know what that was? That was called Dad of the Year material right there.
Yeah.
Hey, you, I'm busy right now. You can have whatever you want.
She came tiptoeing in, and I'm like, all right, what?
It's going to happen.
She said she's hungry, so.
Perfect. I'm glad.
Hello. Yeah.
I know I do that same thing when I'm in the bathroom and they're banging on the door. Just go eat whatever you want.
Yeah. Just...
No, it's fun. And that it's pretty interesting growing up and being like the crazy guys that we were and goofy young people. And now we're all somewhat settled down, have families, and I know I talked to you some during the pandemic, and you were getting into woodworking and trying to your skill set at maybe doing a little different artistic outlet since you couldn't play much music. Is that something you've done before in the past? Was that just COVID related? I need to pick up a new hobby.
No, I wouldn't. I would say it's all stuff I've done in the past. You know, as a trade, I worked as a landscaper. Probably the most thing I've done besides music is worked in the landscape trade, and also some is like kind of general construction, as like a, you know, in a helper type job. But learned a lot from that.
Well, you've got
enough to.
You've got a degree in that, though, don't you? Like horticulture.
I got a degree in landscape and like a couple horticulture degrees.
See, dude is smart too.
Got some green thumbs in
there. No, that's just the glasses. people have overestimated my intelligence my entire life because
the glasses.
Yeah,
I got a pair now. So look who just got smarter.
Your IQ just went up, dude.
Yeah, and these are progressives I just got this week, so I think it just dropped another 10 points.
Is that what it did? I think it just totally told everybody how old you are. That's really what it did.
This is definitely old dude talk. Yes. You know what's funny is no matter how old we get and how many more like adult responsibilities we get, whenever we get together,
it's still fart jokes. Away. Lots of fart jokes.
It completely goes away. The craziness, yeah. We had a lot of good golf outings with you. You are a really good golfer. I mean, in terms of compared to us, you're a really good golfer. But I was always fun going out with you and Justin when you guys come to town. We spent a few days. That was back before we had a job. Like, I can't imagine going golfing right now. I haven't been in like 8 years.
No, exactly.
But in between touring, we'd have like a whole week of nothing. So we'd just be going out golfing every morning. And you were there for a lot of those. I know we went out with Justin a bunch, and Justin had quite the anger management problem on the course and broke a few golf clubs.
Alan didn't. He lost his temper a couple times too.
There's nothing more maddening than golf, man. And you're right. I can't imagine. Back then, unless you were playing a gig, every day was Saturday. That's the way I described like when I first moved to Nashville. Every day was Saturday. It's just, you know, what do you want to do today? What do you want to do? You know, it's just
my day's open.
Unless you were picking. It's insane how much free time we wasted.
I know. Could have been practicing.
Yeah, we could have been way more productive.
Investing.
Oh.
We could have solved world hunger. So I got a question for you, Alan. I know when you joined the band, they had given you the name Black Cat. Are you still being called Black Cat?
No.
And can you tell them
he's bass player of the year now?
You can't be Black.
Yeah.
You want to tell them why it was you were called Black Cat?
Yeah. That one never really stuck. Like I didn't.
Oh, it did. We all talked about it.
Yeah, I mean, there's other nicknames that definitely stuck that have still stuck. But the way Black Cat Bartram came about was probably for maybe 10 or 11 years straight, the Del McCurry Band had won like Entertainer of the Year every year for probably 10 years. And you know,
Mandolin Player of the Year.
Probably Mandolin Player of the Year, Fiddle Player of the Year, Male Vocalist, stuff like that.
All of the stuff. All the stuff. They won all the stuff.
Basically, I mean,
like a lot of stuff, right?
We're just going to shorten the show by just announcing that Del McCurry won everything.
As soon as Alan entered the band, it was like nothing. Which I like to think is just coincidental.
No, I totally.
And not a reflection on me personally, but they did tease me a little bit about that.
You're just a late bloomer. It took you a while, but you got there.
Yeah. Oh, man.
I want to go back and actually talk about when you got the call to join the Del McCurry Band. You were still filling in with Kenny and Amanda, playing some shows. Am I correct?
I was still full-time with Kenny and Amanda. They were aware. I made them aware that I was trying out for the Del gig, which was a really hard decision.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say hard. It was very conflicting. Let me put it that way. Because a couple reasons. I was really close to them, and also dating Amanda's sister at the time. And I was also in my head about
being the guy who has to follow in Mike Bubb's footsteps.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And, you know, I've been a fan of bands where, you know, like, a member leaves and the next guy that comes in, you're like, please, you know,
sure.
It's just, it's not the same.
Yeah.
And so I was in my head about that too. I was like, man, I don't know if I want that pressure, but I eventually talked, you know, psyched myself up enough where I was like, okay, that's silly. If you get this opportunity, you have to take it, you know?
Yeah.
And so I guess over the course, I don't know, it was probably two or three months of, you know, going on the road with the Del McCurry Band when I could. That was the process. There was no like official, you know, meet us at this sound stage and we're going to run through these songs. It was like, hey, we're going to, the first one was Calgary, Canada Folk Fest. Nice. Hey, can you come play with us, you know, on this weekend? I'm like, yeah, I got to get a passport though. And that was the first official on the road Trout gig. And it's just like jump in the deep end of the pool. Sure. And start swimming, which was kind of cool. And I think probably, you know, is maybe the best way to go about it. I don't know. It was neat. It really forced me into a situation where it was like, okay, you got to bring your A game. You know, you got to be paying attention. You got to be studying, you know, all this 40 years of material when you're not on the road.
That's
if you want to try to do this well, you know.
From what I've known of Dell's show and watching you guys, Dell just kind of pulls them out.
He knows every song.
Yeah, you can get a request and you got to know it. I think I've talked to you about this. You know, there's it's not a set list. It's a set list that's a mile long, and you got to know it or catch up.
Well, he's got such a huge catalog of hits. I mean, and songs that everybody recognizes him for. And that is one thing that I was always surprised. I would always ask for the most obscure stuff, and yet. You know, a lot of us, like,
you can do it.
Our band would always go, no, I can't do that because it's been 25 years since I, and Dell would be like, yeah, let's go for it. And he'd get ready, you know, the eyebrows would pop and then it was time for it to happen.
But that's a good one.
on the subject of you following up Mike Bubb, I thought it was cool because, you know, everybody immediately, including me, is like, Alan doesn't slap. You know, Mike Bubb's known for slapping, you know. How's Alan going
to... Right.
But you came in, you actually did come in, and you played differently, but you played more traditional. You know, you fit in, but different. And I thought that was awesome. I was super proud of you when you started.
Yeah.
I mean, that was awesome.
We were all very excited for you. And
But the fact that you didn't jump in and become Mike Bubb Jr., you know...
You're not going to succeed doing that. I mean, it's... And it had never been part of any, it just wasn't something I ever really did. And I remember asking Dell about that. I said, I know, slap bass has been a big part of your sound throughout, you know, from Jerry McCurry to Mike Bubb. I said, do you want me to play more like that? And he said, no, just do what you do.
Well, good.
So that was, you know, a big vote of confidence from hearing that from Dell himself. He's never... You know, he's not one to like tell you how to do your job. You know, it's just kind of, you know, I mean, if you're doing something way off the wall, he might in a real friendly way
say
something about it. But it's very low pressure. Just, you know, show up to the gig, work hard, and, you know, and that's it.
How would you say like the amount of pressure you had and also elation of getting to play with the Del McCurry Band compares to your first single bass jam?
Can't even compare. The first single bass jam was, I mean, there was a lot riding on the success of that.
It was.
Obviously.
I remember it went over so well in Justin's living room that we decided we were going to try it at IBMA. It was kind of a flop. We had advertised it, trying to get as many bass players to come together and play on the single bass.
My favorite part, that original video, though, my favorite part is he wasn't even involved. It was me and Justin at first. And then Alan legitimately walks in the room, shrugs his shoulders, and said, okay. And jumps in.
We got the video there.
Check that out online.
That's back when we had the Chap TV thing going, so we were just filming stuff everywhere we would go. And Alan, he wasn't it. We were like filming something with just Jason and Justin. And you see Alan just walk in, like
not even paying attention. He just throws his shoulders up and goes, okay.
He just does it as if that was.
I guess we're doing this.
I guess this is a thing.
Anyway.
And you know what's wild? You guys were really on the kind of the leading edge of creating content.
We were
if you think
we were
about
doing
it,
something. I don't know if it was a leading edge, but it was edgy, I guess.
that was before smartphones really, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. We had this giant like TV camera we would bring around with us and definitely made us look official.
If you haven't seen any of that, for the listeners that are out there, we used to run a website called Chap-TV, Chap-TV. Carried a lot of just goofy things that we did on the road. And I have to say, I think Alan showed up in quite a few of those videos.
Well, that's kind of Justin. The genesis of it was just the goofy stuff we did at your guys' house. We're like, well, we should film this. Why not?
And we thought it was entertaining. Ended up, most people did not find that to be all that entertaining.
Yeah, I will say, like you said, we might have been like early on the content creation. I do credit that for what we're doing now. Like the preparation we had done there with filming just about everything we did. That is a good part of why we do what we do now. Because we were filming stuff, and then we had kind of our own mini TV show we did online for our website. And then once we started the music store, we're like, hey, let's keep doing that. People seem to enjoy it. And it kind of, we learned that the biggest advantage of it, not necessarily was that people thought we were funny, but they felt like they knew us. People that watched us, they could say, oh, I saw that time you guys were doing this, you were doing that. And they had this kind of interaction with us remotely so that when we actually met in person, it brought down some of those barriers that you get with people when they're a little bit nervous talking to somebody new or a little bit reluctant to talk to somebody new. And we thought with the music store, probably a similar thing that we could take advantage of is kind of letting our personalities
out there.
Did you
just say we're taking advantage of people?
We're taking advantage of a scenario.
Oh, I got you.
A technical term is leverage.
Sounds like you guys.
But that's why we've started a podcast. And our very first guest has turned out flawlessly.
this is definitely a benchmark that has been set. And I don't know if anybody is going to be able to match this. So good for you. I'm just so
proud to be here.
Just this old Pennsylvania boy moved to Tennessee, and now he's got him some technology.
Look at me now, mama.
moved down to the big city. Goodness.
On a serious note, though, kind of taking you back to playing with Dale McCurry, obviously, huge honor to get to play with a legendary musician like Dale, I imagine. But he also, because of the, I guess he deservedly has the following and the reach that he has, you guys have probably played some pretty incredible events and locations. You play the Opry pretty regular. Are there any of those things that you kind of look back or the first time you did it, you were just like, wow, like how did I get here?
Yeah. It still happens actually, occasionally, but, definitely early on. I mean, I was green as goose poop.
I've actually heard him use that exact deal before. I thought it was great then. Even better now. Thank you for using it one more time.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and you know how it is when you're, you know, just, I mean, going places that I'd never been before, you know, big stages, big crowds, places like that. Obviously, the Opry. A lot of special places like Carnegie Hall. That one's still pretty extra cool. Sure. Big festivals like Hardly Strictly Festival in San Francisco, probably consistently the largest crowd to play in front of for our band whenever we get to do it. Because I play with the Dale McCurry band, it also means I get to play with, you know, some really, unbelievable musicians who, if I wasn't in the Dale McCurry band, I wouldn't be on stage with these guys like Jerry Douglas and David Grisman and Stuart Duncan and Bela Fleck, things like that. I mean, just
you were Leanne Womack's bass player at one point, weren't you, for a show?
I did two shows. I wasn't her. I did two shows with her, and that was because of Ronnie Bowman. I got to do two. She asked Ronnie to put together like a bluegrass acoustic group for a couple shows, and yeah, got to play a couple shows with her. And it was Ronnie Bowman, Wyatt Rice, myself, Jesse Cobb, and Jeremy Garrett, as well in that band. And yeah, there's just
a lot of cool moments like that where it's like, what am I doing here? Yeah. You know?
Were you with Del when they were doing like the fish tour? Or was that before you?
No, that was before before I was in the band. Probably by several years. Yeah.
But I know,
but we do cross paths with some of those guys.
Guys.
Then you, but
so you at their festival in Arkansas.
Did that, and I think you were also doing a Steve Earle tour. Am I correct on that? Was that one you were on? No, he's looking at us like no.
I was not on the Steve Earle tour. No,
there was some tour you were on. That, I remember that.
John, he plays with Del McCurry.
We're going to cut that. Go ahead and edit that out. There was a tour that you were on, and I remember it was really good. Yeah. It was some of my favorite music you ever did. Yeah, it was.
We're
going
to go ahead and edit in. You can answer this question. Weren't you on the tour? Just fill in the blank for
Indeed, I was on the tour. No, you know what? Actually, a really cool tour that we did do early on in my time with Del was with Vince Gill and Amy Grant.
I do.
We did
that.
Basically a whole month. We were on the road for a solid month, and it was like Amy Grant would open the show, then Vince would play, and then we'd come out like we would come out in between Amy and Vince, and we would do like a 30 to 40 minute set, and then Vince and his band would play, and then we would also come out during his set and do like a bluegrass segment. That was really cool.
That was the tour I was thinking of right there. That was the one. That was the one I was looking for. That tour.
Yeah.
And then you came to Springfield.
That was pretty awesome.
You came to Springfield with the Traveling McCurrys, and you guys were playing with, I'm drawing a blank, the mandolin player that was with Yonder Mountain.
Jeff Boston. Jeff Boston band, yeah.
And you got to see probably the finest venue you guys have ever been in, I believe.
We had fun there, man. That was the Outland Ballroom, right?
The Outland Ballroom. I remember Ronnie in the backstage area like, wow, this is the trashiest backstage area I've ever seen.
He was exaggerating. We've been in much trashier places.
I liked it. I liked the phone call that I got from Alan that said, the bathrooms don't have doors.
Yeah.
We got a lot of that kind of stuff around here. That's who we are.
They've fixed it up. Post-COVID, I think they got one of those venue grants.
Doors.
So they fixed up the place. But there was a time that they prided themselves on, like, the trashiest bathrooms and backstage area. It was, like, graffiti on all the walls.
Everybody's got to have a place like something. That. All right?
Seems like it's been a while since we've had a chance to hang.
Yes.
So this is pretty good, though.
Yeah,
this works. We're going to do this again next week, too. So get your computer ready.
By the way,
please.
Yeah, you're actually one of the
Can
hosts.
We do it every week?
Yeah.
Alan, we do really appreciate you being our first guest on this. When we kind of came up with a list of people we wanted to talk to and the idea behind it being people that we have known in the business, you're obviously a person we've known in the business for a while. And also somebody, like we mentioned earlier, genuinely we're proud of how well you've done and all the successes you've had. It's really cool to see one of the good guys do so well. So congratulations.
Thanks, guys.
And thanks again.
The better man.
You know, I know it's just because it's alphabetical order.
Yeah. Alan.
You got it covered with A-B. A-N-D. Yeah.
It's pretty good for you. I was like, us too when we came up with the name for the band. Chapman's was always a great choice because, if they're going to do alphabetical order, we had a good chance of being in the top. Few, so that's why we chose that.
Yeah, that's why we changed our name to Chapman.
We changed our name.
Anyway, we'll talk to you later. The check's in the mail, and
please use it to buy some new equipment.
Yeah, please get a computer.
Yeah, hey, you didn't send a return label with your stuff.
I figured that a guy who was working on a good gig, unlike us, would actually have the money to pay for postage.
We're going to need that back.
Do you think I have a printer? Do you think I can operate a printer that can print a return label?
We're gonna have to send UPS to pick it up.
You've seen my situation.
And I sure hope all that stuff it gets to continue through the podcast. That was probably one of the funniest 5 minutes I think I've ever seen.
Can we email the label to your wife?
No, I'll send your stuff back. It was a good attempt, guys. It was a really good attempt. I think for most guests, it's going to work out great.
Just not me.
If you can make it work with Alan, you can make it work with anyone.
All
right.
Maybe give me another chance sometime, and we'll up our game a little bit.
We gave you your one chance. You blew it. You're out. Sorry, buddy.
We'll try. We'll let you try for season two.
after we're syndicated.
Yeah. And whenever you start your podcast, please invite me as well.
All right. Man, it's good to talk to you guys.
Good to talk to you too, buddy. And we will hopefully see you very soon. If you guys are hearing him on the podcast, go out and see the Traveling McCurrys as well as Del McCurry Band. They're out there killing it still. And proud of you. Like I said, very proud of you. Keep it up.
Oh, thanks, guys.
Love you, Alan. Goodbye.
All right, fellas.
Wave.
Talk to you soon, I hope.
Wave.
Don't stop. People. Don't stop the recording.
Do we really hang out or do we stay on?
We're just going to stare at each other for a moment.
You hang up.
You know you do it.
No, well, you hang up.
I can't. I just can't.
All right,
Alan, I got
an email.
Don't you guys have to teach some lessons or something?
Yes, I do.
Yes, I got to get my kids.
This is where the theme music plays. Do you have theme music? All right, Alan,
we should laser these.
Yeah, we should get the logo on.
Ooh, there. That'd be cool.
Have nose people?
It should be our logo, just nose. People. Like a nose with legs.
Why did That's you so not stupid. Do that?
It's so dumb.
You absolutely need we could do a new logo with a nose. With
all right, let's talk about this on the podcast. Okay,
guys, Alan Bartram, that was great. For our first episode, I couldn't imagine a better guest, especially with all the technical difficulties we worked out.
I absolutely could have imagined a better guest.
I mean, maybe Bill Gates that could plug his computer in would have been good, but... Alan was a good test run.
Any guy that actually knows how to plug something into the wall would be good.
What I love is
my 60-something-year-old father would have been a better guest. Oh, my God.
I love that you gave him notice about this. None of his devices were charged. He wasn't sure which one to use. But that was
fun. You know what's funny about this? This is a great story. I remember we actually told Alan the story of our dad who for the first time used a mouse on a computer. And I remember he did this by picking up the mouse. And at first we said, Dad, just put it in your hand and kind of move it around a little bit. And he lifted it up into the air and started moving it into the air. And I remember Alan laughing about that. He was like, that's so silly. Guess what, Alan? You have officially become a 67-year-old man.
I'm starting a petition to buy Alan Bartram a computer.
And a battery.
You got to GoFundMe. GoFundMe for Alan. Please help Alan get into the 21st century.
Alan, great guest. And I really meant it when I talked about how he was, and it still is, the nicest person.
He is.
And the work ethic.
Infuriatingly nicest.
What I said about being in Nashville, he was always on the go. Like, we were just wasting so much time. And maybe he talked about it, he used to do that. But once he got to Nashville, it seemed like something clicked with him. He's like, I need to actually go to work for this. And so we'd be playing around asking Alan, hey, why don't you come hang out with us? And he's like, well, I've got 3 appointments today, and I got to go meet with this guy.
And every time you guys would all go,
I'm too good to hang out with you guys. But, no, it was great to see the work ethic that he put into it actually pay off. So very proud of Alan, and like I said, fun guest to have.
And making great music, has been making great music for quite some time. And, again, like you said, you can't be more proud of a dude that has been so kind and such a great friend. So.
Yeah. And he won Bass Player of the Year. How can you not? I mean, Bass Player of the Year.
Hey, Jay, how many of those do you have?
None.
Yeah, but who has a podcast?
He deserved it. I make fun of him a lot about it, but he deserves it.
Yeah, great
Absolutely.
Player.
He's one of the best people.
And that first album he played on with Kenny and Amanda, one of my favorite albums, too. So he's been there for the start of a lot of big things. I didn't know the fact about the precursor to the infamous String Duster, so that was a
nice new fact. Yeah,
I remember
we were hanging
that.
Out. Yeah, we were talking about that.
See, we're learning something on the show. Yeah.
And I also remember that tour, by the way, in case you guys...
The one tour that he was on that was like really
that
famous?
That was a really big one. Yeah. I knew it was a big
Maybe
one.
Maybe you should ask our next guest
Why
if
don't
they
we just go ahead
that
and
artist.
I think for the future, we just mute John's microphone. That's
just,
for looks.
Just give his laugh
back. You guys know the only thing I'm here for is just to laugh into the microphone. That's really it.
I hope we got a gate on that. Anyway,
so
guys,
the first
that was
podcast.
Fun.
What do you guys think?
I think we should keep up with it.
Do you think this format's going to stick?
No.
We're going to run out of people we know, so we're going to have to start introducing ourselves to strangers here pretty soon. But
I just meant podcasts in general. Do you think it's something
the internet? Do you think the internet's going to last?
I don't know. The Acoustic Shop knows people.
Yeah. Looking forward to the next episode.
Mm-hmm.
Goodbye. Jason, your beard is touching the microphone.
The Acoustic Shop knows people. handmade by Trent Pruitt, Hinkley Hinkleston, and Jason Chapman for The Acoustic Shop.
Theme song written and performed by Ofer Koren.
And please remember to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.